Good morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, may your Spirit blow through this place, through our hearts, and through us into the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So today I'm finishing a three-part sermon on the difficult to articulate, but I think vitally important subject of learning to experience God directly. And I began in part one with a reflection on a bulletin cover, if you remember, if you were here that Sunday, from a person in our congregation, and this is part of what she wrote. Just looking out my study window, watching the aspen leaves dance, sometimes listening to music, I go to another place as the undeniable presence of God, of Spirit, surrounds me. Something ethereal courses through my veins, and tears of gratitude and awe gently well up. It's this undeniable presence of God that I want to help us to connect with, not just for our sake, but for the well-being of the world, because it's our sense, our knowing that life is sacred, that keeps it from devolving into something transactional and commodified, profit-driven. It's our connection to the holy that makes life more than just survival. And so in part one, I introduced the idea of thinking of ourselves as both a particle and a wave, meaning that in our normal state of awareness, we experience ourselves as particles, separate, embodied, individuals. But at times, we can glimpse that we are also part of a whole. Like a choir singing together is a whole, part of the holy, and that we are actually connected to everything else. And in these moments, we see the world with what's called non-dual awareness, times when the chatter of our small particle self is silenced. And rather than feeling love for this thing or feeling love for that thing, we just feel love for everything. This is non-dual love, or what my son and I now call nodule love, if you recall. But since seeing the world this way is not easy to do and may be a new concept for many of you, I said that in my next two sermons, I would offer some suggestions for how to access this other way of knowing and being. So in part two, I focused on the present moment as a deceptively simple portal, almost a trap door, that shifts us from particle to wave awareness. Because when we learn to come to a complete stop and just look at the world around us, then all the stories of who we are and what we think for that moment stops too. Which to our rational, goal-oriented mind sounds at least boring and maybe more likely like a waste of time. But when we are in that state of awareness, we see that it's actually the other way around. That actually what consumes much of our rational, goal-oriented mind is the waste of time. We are worried and distracted by many things. Instead of being awake to the mystery of God that is always here in this moment-by-moment miracle, right in front of us. So that brings us to today, and one more idea for how to spend more time in this non-dual awareness that our world so desperately needs. To get at it, I want to start with the premise that we all just want to be happy. Okay? If we look closely, the underlying motivation behind almost everything that we do is to be happy. Our quest for the right job or the right life partner, the right friends, the right TV show, dish soap, temperature of our coffee, camera angle on our selfies, always boils down to wanting to be happy. Fair enough? Obvious, right? And to have this happy life that we want, it also seems obvious that we need to focus on it then. If you want a garden to bloom, you have to give it attention, right? So we need to think about our life. We need to reflect on our life, make plans for it, dream dreams about it, work at it. And we do, don't we? If we had an internal app measuring our internal screen time, it would be clear that our own life is our favorite project and we are our favorite subject. We think about ourselves and our lives in one way or another just about every chance we get. But if there were a correlation between time spent thinking about oneself and one's happiness level, then frankly, a lot of us should be a lot more cheerful than we are. I do think there is a correlation. But it is a negative one. Because always focusing on ourselves also means always worrying about ourselves and doubting ourselves and blaming ourselves and comparing ourselves to everyone else. And it's never ending and it's never satisfying. Focusing on our own happiness, in my experience, usually ends up making us pretty unhappy. To which Jesus says, I told you that 2,000 years ago. Did you not hear me when I said those who want to save their life, well, they end up losing them? And we heard him, we just didn't like what he said. And we liked what he said next even less. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you will save it. For what does it profit you if you gain the whole world but you lose yourself? In other words, I think, you can have a wildly successful life by the world's standards. You can gain the whole world. But you will never be truly happy if you lose touch with your soul in the process. And the surprising path to staying in touch with our own soul is to give up on the whole self-absorbed happiness project and to spend a lot less time thinking about ourselves and our problems and our life in general. Just lose your life. Let it slip out of your pocket while you walk through a field of snow. Let it get mixed up with the recycles and tossed out. Lost. Gone forever. Or to put it even more bluntly, let everything in you that is not love die by starvation. Let your selfishness die. Let your insecurity die. Let your insistence on getting your way die. As much as you can, as often as you can, stop paying attention to just about everything about yourself. Now, to your particle self, this sounds impossible and probably offensive. but to the impossibility of it. Think about a time when you felt profound love for someone else. And in that state, isn't it true that you hardly thought about yourself? Your attention was so focused on them, you barely existed. I know when my children were born, I felt like that. Or think about a time when you felt profound sorrow, a time when your heart was breaking for a loved one who was suffering. Did you not feel a similar tenderness of heart? Did the world not seem different in that space? And did you not also hardly think of yourself at all? So it is possible. Times of profound love and profound sorrow shift us into a different state of awareness, in which so much of what previously seemed so important no longer matters. That state of being is what I'm trying to get at. What if we could learn to spend more of our day, not all of our day, we are particles too, but more of our day with our hearts in that place? Opened this time, though, not by another person necessarily, but out of our love for this mystery that we call God, out of the sacredness at the heart of life, if we fell in love with it. Inside this new love, die, advised the Sufi master Rumi 800 years ago. Your way begins on the other side. Become the sky. Take an axe to the prison wall, escape, and walk out like someone suddenly born into color. Again, I know this sounds impossible to your particle self, to which I am largely speaking to. But at your core, you are also a wave. Can you trust that part of you enough? Can you trust the mystery enough to at least a few times a day surrender your small self to that great love? In 1836, a woman named Frances Ridley Havergal was born in England. And at the age of 15, she, quote, committed my soul to the Savior, and earth and heaven seemed brighter from that moment. 23 years later, she wrote the words to our closing hymn, which begin like a prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. She may use different words than I do, but the message is the same. Surrendering our small self to the one love is as old as the Christian story. From the Apostle Paul saying, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." To Frances Havergal, consecrating her life in service to the mystery. To Jesus himself, saying, "Thy will be done. Thy will." This is the Christian story. It is a story that seems like madness to our particle self and to much of the world. and it is a story with the power to heal both of them. Because in the end, so much of our life is about letting go. Letting go of the false sense of control that we never really had. And letting go of the false sense of security from chasing our own tails. Letting go of everything that keeps us from trusting in and giving ourselves completely to the mystery that always has been and always will be the only real source of happiness.